for being here. We know a lot of folks are perhaps traveling this week because it is fall break from school here in Centerville this week, Hickman County. So a lot of folks may be on the, here's that thing, Angie, right here. It's on the table. I lost a piece of the mic, but here, there it is. So anyway, we hope y'all are traveling well, and thank you for watching if you're on the interstate headed to wherever you're going and all that good stuff. One thing we did not do this morning that we normally do is ask if we have first-time visitors. So I was told to ask, do we have first-time visitors? If so, I know we need to embarrass you. Raise your hand. We want you to please come back. Okay, there's at least one, as David says, welcome committee, which means Miss Babcock, if you would, please make sure that he gets some goodies. We're glad to have you. And for those of you, and you know, there's probably a bunch of you on Facebook. Maybe this is your first time to watch, so you're waving and raising. You let us know, and we'll send you some stuff. We'll send you some stuff in the mail. Okay. And I will say this: when Hope Church was created, and I just randomly grabbed this shirt today, but it was 2015. One of the desires that we had was that we would become family, and I believe we have accomplished that, and I believe we are continuing to accomplish that. The Lord just continues to bring us so many folks, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the service, but at any rate, we have become family. And so when you become family, you are aware of family stuff, you know, the good things about family, the bad things about family. And apparently this morning Angie shared with the praise team we had an altercation last night, a little one, just very small. Mostly it was me with her. She did nothing. It wasn't her fault. I was in the wrong. And all that. But at any rate, she decided she would share that with the group, and so I've since heard about that. And when I said family, I didn't mean exactly just you know, everything. But at any rate, I guess that's just where we're at. So we love you all so much. It is such a joy to be at this church. And the last several months and what we already know that lay ahead of us is the most exciting season of this church. So if you weren't here from the beginning, you've made it at the right time, because I promise you the Lord is unveiling some amazing ministries for us here and places to plug in. And we believe that this is going to be a season of extreme growth, maybe numerically, maybe not, but certainly spiritually. There's just no question about that. And we are thankful that you're here for the ride with us. Most of you know what this gizmo is. Some of you have had the joy of driving one from time to time. And I'm sad that Mr. Bird isn't here this morning, because he was going to be the illustration. Mr. Bird, who's usually on one of these walkers, and he drives it very well. He does fine. And you don't necessarily have to be an elderly person to have to lean on one of these things from time to time. Some of you, at a very young age, perhaps had some type of an injury, lower extremity, knee, ankle, hip, whatever, and the doctors gave you the choice of, you know, of crutches or one of these. Now, if you're a young person, the crutches seem far more cool than one of these guys does, you know, because this doesn't have the tennis, you know, the tennis balls is what really makes it. You got it, you know, if you got the tennis balls on the bottom, that really says, you know, I'm of a certain age. And so the purpose of this walker or something similar to this is obviously, if you're injured, something's going on, for you to be able to stay mobile is you put your weight on this thing. And many of you know this. You've had to do it. You put your weight on it, and, you know, as swiftly or as slowly as needed, you can get around. You can get around. And it's very helpful. There's no doubt about it. It's very, very helpful, and it impacts your recovery, helps and assists in that, and it's a good thing if used correctly. I'm here to share with you today that I believe that in many ways our lives, in a very symbolic way, or certain things, it's like this walker. whatever you put your weight on, whatever you put your weight on needs to be something that's very firm, something that's stable, something that's long-term. Now, sometimes we're able to do that, and sometimes we're not. If your entire identity and all of your weight is placed on a political party of some sort, of some flavor, whatever it might be, sooner or later, that's going to probably crumble underneath you. Sooner or later. If you put your weight on a stable financial system from now till doomsday, nothing bad ever happens. Ask some of our good friends who had some money in 2008. Some of you will remember that year, and it probably wasn't the best year for you financially. And perhaps you had a great deal of your wealth, maybe in, probably not because you're smart people, but if you did have it in one stock, for instance, there's a very good chance that pretty much was pulled out from underneath you. That walker, that thing that you were putting your faith on and your weight on and all your eggs in one basket, it didn't survive. We tend to do that even in church life. And of course, we've not been here all that long. But if let's say, for instance, we were to say, you know, way back in 2017, I'm just guessing, you know, we had a service, we'll say it was a special service, and maybe we had 250 people, and we're like, you know, that was the greatest attended service that Hope Church ever had, and it was wonderful. And after that event in 2017, almost on a weekly basis, I remind you of that. I'll remind you of that Sunday in 2017, and you're like, you know, that's great, Devin. I'm glad y'all had a good Sunday, but it's 2032, and you're still talking about that. Has there not been anything else worth talking about since then? Why is it that one Sunday has become your crutch? It's become your walker. Eventually, it loses its steam. Eventually, it loses its appeal. Eventually, it loses its wow factor. Eventually, you're like, well, what have you done for me lately? What's happened lately? I mean, churches and other institutions are notorious for living in the glory days. They just are. You ever met a guy who caught a touchdown against their high school, you know, rival, but it was 70 years ago? It's all he wants to talk about. You're like, okay, we know. You've told us. Big deal. For crying out loud. That's sort of how some of that works. I've got to say this because I'm super proud, and these moments are quickly fleeting by. Okay, I've told you recently that Ruby's volleyball team is doing very well. They've been ranked in the top 10 of the state all year long. We got as high as number 2, and they recently, last week, won their regular season championship. They won their district championship, and this next Tuesday they go to Joe Burns, of all places. Joe Burns. And as the crow flies, it's still a good long ways from here. But we go there Tuesday in the hope set that we're able to continue the season. Okay. If things go well there, they will be able to, as we hope, host a sub-state game here at Hickman County High School, maybe later this week. I'm not sure. Maybe Thursday. I don't know. So that's if everything goes as you hope that it does. And if they win that game, they go to the state tournament, which is the ultimate thing in high school sports. It's a big deal. Ruby's freshman year, they did that. The volleyball team has been in existence here, I think, roughly for about 30 years. It's still relatively new, really, here. And Ruby's freshman year, they took all of those steps for the first time ever in our history in Hickman County. That volleyball team went to Murfreesboro, to the Glass House, and played at the state tournament level, won a match, actually. Ended up, I think, 5th in the state that year, something like that. They had a really good season. Point being, let me land the plane. Matthew Dotson is their coach, and he's done a great job, and they have a good time. But he is not telling them, you know what, it doesn't matter if we win next week. It doesn't matter if we make it to the sub-state. It doesn't matter if we make it to the state, because we're going to continue to lean on the fact that 3 years ago y'all made it, so that's good enough. No. It was good. It's great. It's wonderful. But that was like yesterday. We got to look forward. We don't continue to put our faith on. Let me give you another one. And the Bible says that you have to be very, very careful if you choose, or if you feel like God has laid upon you to be a teacher or a pastor, or in some to be an instrument of His word in sharing with other folks, because there's some weight to that. You got to at least sort of kind of know what you're talking about, or think you do. You need to be able to back that up with Scripture, because it could have eternal implications. So the Bible says, be very careful if you choose this vocation, because it's very serious. It's very, very serious. But how many of us have known or have been? And I don't want you to be, by the way. There's some accusatory things that are said from time to time, even about us and this church and me. How many of you have put your faith in a man who was your pastor, or in a woman who was the teacher, whatever the case might be? I mean, they hung the moon for you. And that's good, and it's very flattering. And I have felt some of that before, and very appreciative. But if you put all your eggs in that man's basket, all your eggs in that woman's basket, remember this, they are human beings. And if you put them way up here, the only place for them to go is to fall off down here. And when that house of cards falls, it can be destructive. It can destroy churches, it can destroy families, it can destroy faith. People leave faith because of the mistakes of someone else. But it's really, they made the mistake of putting all their faith in that one person. I've tried to be very transparent and open, not very specific oftentimes, but I've tried to let you know. I promise you, I have not always made my mom and daddy proud. I've not always my wife proud. I've not always made God proud. And I have felt the repercussions of those things. I have had to do better. I have had to repent. I have had to try to rebuild bridges. I've had all this stuff. And so I'm telling you, I'm the last person on the face of this earth that you need to put faith in that I'm never going to mess up or do something that you would be ashamed of, because I have. I'm going to try not to. But if you put all of your weight on one human being, sooner or later, there's a very good chance that weight is going to crumble underneath you. It just is. Again, it's wonderful that you would have the desire to be near that person, that you believe in that person, whatever the case might be. We began talking a couple weeks ago about John chapter 14 through chapter 16. And this is really the last form of extensive communication that Jesus had with His disciples, not the multitudes. We're not talking about 3,000, 4,000, and 5,000 people where He fed them all. We're talking about the inner circle, his 12 guys. It's a very few people. He's about to die. He knows this. We know all that situation. And He knows He's getting ready to leave. He's trying to His best to prepare them. In some ways, you want to scratch your head, because if you read 14, 15, and 16, you're like, some of that doesn't seem very encouraging. This is the last sentence of His conversation with them in chapter 16. Look, here's what I want you to do, and I try to say this often. It is my hope, it is my prayer, it is my wish, it is my goal, it is my desire, it is my endeavor that you would leave here more encouraged than when you walked in the door. Every single time. Now, we may have to talk about some difficult subjects. Yes, occasionally we even talk about sin here. We may have to talk about some things that are going to make us uncomfortable, that are going to have some introspective and decide, you know, it's probably me that He's talking to, that God's talking to through Him. It's probably me. But for the most part, I want you to leave thinking, man, you know, I didn't feel like getting up this morning. I had all this stuff, whatever, but you, and sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes you just got to make yourself come. You just do. It's just human nature. I mean, everybody's got that little bit of thing going on that I just had to drag myself to church. But once you leave, you're like, I'm so glad I got up. I'm so glad I went. That thing that I thought couldn't wait, it waited. That headache I thought I had, it went away. And somehow I felt so much better after leaving that worship service. And you've had those before here. You've had them in other places. I want you to feel this way. But Jesus seemingly did not leave them on a positive note. I mean, He's getting ready to go away. In some ways, forever. Yes, He came back, but He's getting ready to go. And one of the last things that He says to them as they are together as a group is, I've told you all this stuff. He says, so that in me, now look at this word, that small word, so that in me you may, so that you may have peace. That's going to be your choice. Now, we can have peace in Christ Jesus at all sorts of different levels. There's a lot of different ways perhaps to get there from different vantage points. Always got to be through Christ, no one else. He says, so that in me you may have peace. But then look what he says next. The may is kind of like, yeah, you can. It's going to be something up to you. But then he says, but in this world you will have. He says, you may have peace. Some of that's going to be on you. But you will have trouble. He says there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's not a single one of us in this room this morning, I dare say, that cannot look back on the last 7 days since we've been here and say, well, I had no trouble in 7 days. Maybe you could. God bless you. Tell me how that works. Because, well, I told you I had trouble with my wife last night. That was on me. Again, that was my fault. But trouble. Part of that trouble, part of the trouble is because Ruby's car that we thought needed a battery replaced, we bought a new battery, finds out after she broke down that it's the alternator. So she calls me late. I got to get up and go. That started the whole thing with Angie. Really Ruby's fault, actually, so I guess it's not really her fault. So baby, we'll work on that. Okay. Yep. She hates me doing this. Oh, she just absolutely wants to crawl under the seat. But she's the last one I got left. I got to. That's what started. So trouble. I had trouble. Very good. I deserve it. I can't. Yes, ma'am. But he says trouble. Trouble's coming. And some of it we can laugh at. Yeah. But some of you might be involved in some trouble right now it's not funny. I wish it was. I wish it was something that we could just laugh at and make light of and move on. But some of the trouble that some of you are in, and certainly those of you, the multitudes who are watching right now on Facebook, you're in some trouble right now and you're just not sure what to do. It may be financial trouble. And you've tried to save, you've tried to not spend all your money on frivolous things, you've sincerely tried, but maybe because of COVID or because of some situation your hours have been cut back or you lost your job or whatever, you were working Dave Ramsey's plan, you're doing everything right, but still it's not enough and you're struggling and it's trouble. You may be in trouble in your relationship. Maybe not just a marriage. Maybe it's a friendship, a cherished friendship that you've had for a lifetime. But something has happened. Something has kind of gone sideways, and you really love this person, but you guys are in a struggle right now, and it's trouble. Maybe you've got some kind of health thing going on. And boy, is that not trouble. Bless her heart, Kaylee inherited back issues from... we all got them from both sides of the family. And, when your back hurts, everything hurts, as many of you know all too well. That's some trouble, man. And there's nothing, it's not a laughing matter whatsoever. So Jesus, as a loving Savior, did what we as loving parents should do. He says, look, I'm not going to candy coat this. It's going to be rough. It's going to be difficult. Little thing I shared this past week about parenting is so true. Instead of us continually saving our kids from drowning, we need to teach them to swim. And that's what God is trying to do with His followers. He's about to leave behind. He's like, look, guys, I'm out of here. It wasn't how I wanted it. Wouldn't have been my plan. But God says it's time, so I got to go. And I want you to know the road ahead of you is going to be rough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. You're going to have all these different things going to happen to you. And if He was honest with them, He would say every one of you, your lives will end because of me. And it's going to end abruptly. It's going to end painfully. It's going to end horribly. You're going to be crucified upside down. You're going to be beheaded. You're going to be thrown into oil and boiled till you die. You're going to be drugged behind chariots. You're going to die. You're going to be stoned to death. It goes on and on and on and on and on. There's nothing pleasant about that whatsoever. But he was honest with them. And I think there comes moments in our lives where we have to be honest with the people around us. Tactfully honest, by the way, and some people forget that part. They just want to just blurt it out. There are ways to say things that may bring pain, but maybe less pain the way you say it. Jesus is trying to prepare these people who he loves so very much. It reminded me, this little study has reminded me of an old song, and you can't see it, but this is what many of us used to see when we opened up Songs of the Church, or we opened up the old Sacred Selections. Was that the name of the book? And so the name of this song, and I certainly ain't going to sing it, is "This World Is Not My Home." This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And it goes on. And so what Jesus is trying to get these disciples to understand is, look, in spite of the trouble that's coming, this ain't your home. As difficult as it is for us to understand, because let me just speak for myself, I have a very hard time grasping eternity, something where there is just no end. But he's trying to get them to understand that the road ahead is going to be rough. It might be. It's going to be. Now, there's going to be some moments of clarity and some moments of fun, some moments of happiness, some moments of everything is okay. But sprinkled in there, it's going to be death, destruction, tragedy. There's all sorts of things. But it's not the end. This world is not your home. It's just not. Now, seemingly in the world that you and I live in, things are, we are told, improving every day. If you listen to any business podcast or any type of thing dealing with technology, you'll hear AI mentioned a lot more now. This artificial intelligence, how that you have all these smart folks who are every day thinking about and inventing new ways of doing things. And on the onset, AI seems really cool. What's the Tesla guy? Elon Musk. Folks like him. Just like, how much brain is in your head? How do you? It's just continually developing and thinking and whatever. And so initially you think as a business owner, you say, well, AI would be great, because I can buy this robot that will essentially do the work of 10 people. Well, from a business standpoint, that's good. But from what about the people standpoint? That ain't so good. All of a sudden, and look, we're doing it now. We're doing a whole lot more business through machines than we ever have. Barney Fife, he said he wasn't going to go to the post office because he wasn't going to do business from a machine. He had no idea, did he? He didn't want to buy his stamps through a machine. He had no idea where we were headed, because more and more and more, instead of ordering somewhere, you physically are plugging the order in. You might not even see a human being. You're physically plugging the order in. You're physically swiping the card. You're the human touch is, and I get it. I understand, and I don't know if there's any stopping it. So what seems to be really super good, even though we are improving and increasing, may not be. What about all these new medicines? Every single day, you open up your Facebook, all kinds of new medicines in your feed. Turn on television, all sorts of new medicine commercials. They say, this is new and improved. This will heal this. This will help that. I mean, obviously, with the COVID now, they're every day they're working on something different. I've heard, at some point, maybe a pill instead of a shot, all these things. And no doubt that it will come to that. It's just how things progress and work. And that's great, but generally with every new medicine, there's some different side effects. Well, it'll heal your runny nose, but you might die. Well, that doesn't seem like that's the best trade-off. It'll do this, but you'll end up, whatever the case might be. So even though it seems like things could and will always continue to get better. They may in some areas, but in other areas there's some trade-off. It's not probably going to be near as good. This is what I know. Most any journey is more enjoyable. It's more tolerable if you're headed somewhere fun, if you're headed somewhere that you've been just anticipating and looking forward to it. There's no doubt in my mind, and some may be literally watching and listening right now as they're headed to Florida or as they're headed to Gulf Shores. And they're going to drive from here roughly about 8 hours. 8 hours, 7 hours, awful long time to be in a car with these people who you love. Lots of stuff happens. Lots of smells start emitting from the back of the, you know, all over. You know, you start, you know, stuff scattered everywhere, you know. But you tolerate those people, and you tolerate those smells, and you tolerate because you know you're about to go somewhere where there's going to be sand and water and really expensive meals and all this stuff. But it's supposed to be fun. So you can make it because you're like, boy, we're going to get there. It's going to be great. And so the ride is, it's okay. But what if you were having to drive to the Gulf Coast for a major surgery? Or you were having to drive to the Gulf Coast because someone near and dear to you passed away and you're going there for their funeral service? Well, all of a sudden, the journey takes on a whole different tone. It takes on a whole different feel. See, when you anticipate with excitement going to somewhere, then you're like, okay, I can do this. But if you're having to go somewhere or be a part of something that you really kind of dread and don't look forward to, there's nothing joyful about that in the least bit. Here's what God wants us to know. The world is dark. The path is difficult. But your citizenship is in heaven. We've got a rough road to hoe. And as the old folks used to say, for some of us, we in the short rows. You know what that means? We in the short road. We getting more toward the end. Getting more toward the finality of everything. What Jesus wanted to get them to understand is, yes, you're going to have to tolerate some stuff in life. You're just going to have to suck it up and kind of deal with it. And it's not all going to be roses. It's not all going to be sunshine. It's not all going to be rainbows. There are going to be some thorns. There are going to be some unpleasantries. He says, it's not that it might be coming. He says, it is coming. It is. But then he says, in the second verse of John 14, all that I have said, but here's the deal. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it wasn't so, if they weren't there, I would tell you otherwise. I go, I'm leaving, I'm telling you right now, getting ready to go. But I go to prepare a place for you, individually, insert your name. For all of us as a group, for Hope Church, yes. For saved like believers, yes, but place your own first name. I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I have to tell you some of the same things that Jesus told the disciples. I wish I could tell you that when you left here today that your life would be easy and you would have no more trouble. That alternators don't go out, that you don't fight with your loved one, that there's plenty of money in the bank, that your health never goes away. I wish I could tell you that. But I have to be truthful with you the way that Jesus was truthful with his friends. It ain't that way. It ain't that way. Now we can plan and prepare whatever the worst case scenario in our lives might be, and maybe that's a good way to plan and prepare. But here's what I know. We're only here for just a little while. This world truly
It is not our home. It's just not. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And the verse number is 10. Revelation 2, verse 10, as the Lord speaks to the seven churches of Asia. Revelation chapter 2, and the verse number is 10. To the church at Smyrna, but this is one of those applicable verses for all people at all times. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. There's a very good chance we're going to have some suffering this week in some way. I don't know what it's going to be. I hope it's very minimal for all of us. I hope it's no more than a flat tire. Or they put something on your burger that wasn't supposed to be on there. I hope that's all that it is. But there's a very good chance with a group this size or a group certainly watching, there's going to be some suffering ahead of us this week that we don't even know is coming yet. He says, but do not be afraid of that. I tell you, the devil is going to put some of you in prison to test you. Now, that could be a prison of all different kinds. It's not just a prison behind bars. A prison of addiction, a prison of financial stress, a prison of relational stress, a prison of health stress, a prison of emotional stress. There's all sorts of prisons that are represented in our room today. And he says, some of you are going to end up in them. Sooner or later, we all will. And he goes on to say that you'll probably be there for about 10 days. Now, that's something that we could discuss. Don can explain it to you because he just finished a study in the book of Revelation. Could be something to do with the Roman Empire. Doesn't matter. He just said, some difficult days are coming. But he closed it with saying, but be faithful. He didn't say it was going to be easy. But he says, be faithful even to the point of dying. Even to the point of death. And I will give you a crown of life. Being faithful is hard. It just is. Find someone who's been married over 50 years. Geez, 20 years, 10 years, whatever it might be. A long time. And if they are honest with you, they perhaps will tell you that one of the things that's difficult in that relationship is being faithful to their spouse. Now, when I say that, you automatically think I mean physically or sexually. That's not what I mean entirely. It can include that. But being faithful to your mate in spite of your hobbies, being faithful to your mate in spite of your ambitions and spending lots more time at work than at home, being faithful to your mate in spite of a lot of stuff, being faithful is tough. It just is. Jesus said, if you will be faithful unto death. We don't know when that's coming. We don't know how long we're going to have to be faithful for. He just says, do it. He says, and then you will receive a crown of life. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. The half-brother of Jesus says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. They could have just stopped at perseveres, really, because we assume the trial part, really, don't we? Because you ain't got to persevere through good stuff. You ain't got to persevere through good seasons when everybody's getting along, plenty of money, plenty of health. No, you have to persevere. Blessed is the man or the woman, mankind, who perseveres under trial, because when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Persevere. Got to keep your head down. Got to stay on the grind and not allow whatever is going on in your life to knock you off track. From what I understand, and from folks who are smarter than me, they will tell you that. There's a lot more. Certainly, Jesus speaks more about hell than he does heaven. Now, why is that ratio? I don't know. Maybe he's trying to persuade us to do the things that keeps us from going to hell, whatever that is. There's not a whole lot said about heaven itself in the Bible. Now, YouTube is full of it, and we could have watched all kinds of videos today. books written about it. People who say they died, you know the stories, and you know on their deathbed, heaven was opened up to them. They visited heaven for a little while. They saw people that had died before them. They knew they were in heaven. They were comforted in heaven, but for whatever reason, they woke back up. They came back to life. And a lot of those stories are the same, and the stories are stories that are very pleasant, stories that are very comforting, stories that are very encouraging, stories that are very welcoming, stories that are like, wow, I hope that what they saw is the way that it is. Now, there are some situations and some points in Scripture where there will be a little something mentioned about heaven, but generally we jump to the book of Revelation, again, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21 probably tells us as much about heaven as anything in Scripture. The things that I used to would come to my mind, or if I was discussing heaven with somebody, I said, well, you know, the Bible says there are going to be gates of pearl, streets of gold, and man, isn't that going to be awesome? And I have finally come to believe, and I do believe this, is it going to be gates of pearl, streets of gold? Maybe, maybe not. There's some things in the book of Revelation that are not literal, some that are. How do you decide? I don't know. All I know is that heaven's going to be great, whatever it is. I'm not going to be disappointed if I get there and there aren't gates of pearl and streets of gold. I'm just not. I'm just not. It came to me this morning, the song, the Luke Bryan song, I believe most people are good. I believe those streets of gold are worth the work, but I'll still go even if they were paved in dirt. I like that. I love that. I'll still want to go even if they are paved in dirt. That'd be fine. We ain't going to care. And so John the Revelator tries to explain to us dimensions, all sorts of things of what heaven is like. And then you can get into the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. That's too much for this little bit of time that we've got left. But I found it very interesting, and as I was thinking about this the last couple of days, I found it very interesting what John seemingly, and we there weren't chapter breaks the way that we have chapter breaks. Here's all one letter, but for my benefit and our benefit today, the initial part of the beginning of chapter 21, he doesn't mention what heaven looks like. He doesn't mention what heaven's going to feel like. He doesn't mention all the fun stuff that we may get to do in heaven. He does not mention any of those things. In my mind, he's going to start this passage with what is the most wonderful part of heaven. And it ain't the streets of gold, and it ain't the gates of pearl. Let me read to you, and you can certainly read it as well, what the best... One more time. Easy. Sorry. Okay. And I heard... Well, I'm going to start at the beginning. Verse number one. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. Isn't that exciting? We are literally going to be face to face with the Creator of the universe. What's it going to be like to be face to face with God? Says he will be among us. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. They personify God. He going to be right with us. He might sit at your dinner table, just take time out with every human that was ever created, and come to your home. And let you just ask or whatever. He will be with them and he will be with their God. But here's to me the most important part of what we know about heaven. I could care less. I really don't. It does not matter to me. As long as God's there, that's all that matters. And it'll be right, whatever it is. I'm not going to argue with you about what heaven is like or what it ain't like. I'm just not. I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste my breath. I'm not going to waste my energy. I believe in a heaven. I believe God has prepared it. And however it is, it's going to be satisfactory to me. But here's what I know about heaven, and I have said this entire mess for the last 35 minutes so that this might be an encouragement to some of you. Here's what heaven doesn't have. We shouldn't be as concerned about what heaven does have as much as what heaven does not have. He says he will wipe every tear from their eye. there will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. For the old order of things has all passed away. And he would say, behold, I have come to make all things new. Jesus told his disciples, and I tell you today, that trouble is ahead. And there's nothing that you can do to stop a lot of it. You got to prepare as best you can and then deal with it as it comes. But he says, here's what you need to reassure each other of and reassure yourself in the mirror every day. This is not the end. The Apostle Paul would say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is even better. That something is waiting for us on the other side, that we may, and some people are waiting for us on the other side, and there's no way for us to be able to comprehend how that is. I heard some preacher say this past week. I thought it was neat. Just imagine your very last breath on earth, your very next breath will be in heaven. Isn't that amazing? I don't know why that just knocked me out. I mean, he said, the last breath you have, the last inhale you have, the very next time you exhale, is in heaven with God, and you go there. Jesus told the thief on the cross today. He didn't say you're going to have to wait. Didn't say you're going to be dead like Rover all over until I decide to do. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Today. Now, how does it all work? I don't know. Am I going to argue with you about it? I am not. All I know is the last breath here, the next breath you take is in God's presence and in His glory. For eternity. And all that will be gone away. There may be many improvements made on the face of this earth, but this earth will always have those things. This earth will always have tears, death, mourning, crying, pain. As much as we might try to make a new medicine, create a new way of life, there's always going to be those things. Why would we not look forward to death? If we believe what we say, we believe, right? I know it seems almost morbid. I get it. I don't want to leave my babies. I don't want to leave my grandbabies. Jesus didn't want to leave his friends. He didn't want to leave his mama. But if we have faith in God, faith in Christ, and we put all of that on that, it will never be pulled out from underneath us. So these folks here, I don't know if you have any reason to know them. There might be one person who will, and you'll see why in just a minute. Scott and Janet Willis. They live in Chicago. Live in Chicago. He's a pastor. And several years ago, something that is just unspeakable happened to them. Mary, you can go ahead and start pulling that up if you want. I stumbled on this story this past week. And I understand and I knew that I would be speaking in a room with folks who have experienced some significant grief at different levels. From all sorts of things going on. And people certainly who are watching on Facebook who have experienced grief at all kinds of levels. And a lot of very unfair things have happened. These folks, do me point to it? Would it help? Can you see it? Right there, my finger. Right there, keep going. A little to the right. Oh, you got it. Now over here to make it big. Right. Almost, keep going. Right. Boom. You did good. Well, yeah, perfect. Okay, right there. We're going to get her a monitor, so I ain't got to do that. Let's watch this, and I'll have one final thing to say after we're done.
As far as the accident is concerned, I was looking at the road and was alert, but thought I could not avoid hitting the object. When we hit the object, the rear exploded, taking the car out of control. And I was able to grip the wheel and take it out of the slide. The fire was around us even before the van stopped sliding, and I was yelling to get out of the car. Janet and I had to consciously put our hands into the flames to unbuckle the seatbelts and reach for the door handles. Ben had to unbuckle, unlock, and unlatch his door. Courageous and clear-thinking work for a 13-year-old boy. As to the future, we are going to laugh and smile with tremendous memories of the kids. We will try our best to acknowledge the outpouring of sympathy and encouragement from the people of America toward us. Also, I look forward to being back in Parkwood's pulpit and in room 201 teaching fifth grade at Dawes School in Chicago. We are looking also for God's leading and directing in our lives. I must tell you that we hurt and sorrow, as you parents would for your children. The depth of pain is indescribable. The Bible expresses our feelings, that we sorrow, but not as those without hope. The hardest part of all was visiting Benny in intensive care, knowing he was alive, but that he would not make it. Around midnight, his big brother and Hebro, Toby, was with Ben when he died. Toby came back and said to me, "Benny's in heaven." The truth of God's word assures me that Ben, Joe, Sam, Hank, Elizabeth, and Peter are in heaven with Jesus Christ. King David said upon the death of his infant son, "Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, and he shall not return to me." As believers, we know one day we will be reunited. Psalm 34 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Janet and I want to praise and thank God. First, for six precious children, four rascally boys, a sweet girl so much like her mother, and a little baby just beginning to smile and grow. We know that the fullness of life is not measured in days and years. Secondly, I thank God for a sweet, loving, and submissive wife. Thirdly, I thank God for his preparation for this trial. On February 5th, 1975, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And through his word, his testings, and our failings, the testimony and fellowship of others, God taught us his love, his grace, and his goodness. The five youngest children died instantly. No sound was heard by Janet or myself as we struggled to get out of the van. Benny courageously made it out, and he was conscious at the accident scene. There are so many people to thank. All the rescue workers, ambulance crews, Flight for Life, particularly off-duty police officer Shea, the first to reach us. An unknown man took his shirt off his back in order to soak Benny's wounds, and another beat out the burning clothes on Janet's back. And we want to thank the nurses that have become very precious to us for their care and comfort. And we want to thank the doctors, Dr. Youssef, Dr. Wong, Dr. Cooper, Dr. Larson. We want to thank the people of Milwaukee and the people of our beloved city of Chicago for their sympathy and their encouragement. And we want to thank the people who visited us and listened as we shared about our little ones. We want to thank the generous people all over this nation. As far away as Hawaii, we sent cards and flowers and gifts. We also want to thank our brothers and sisters at Parkwood Baptist Church and the hundreds of churches who have lifted us up in prayer before the Lord. And lastly, we thank our families who were special, such a special blessing. Our daughter Amy and her husband Alan, our son Toby and his wife Brenda, and our son Dan and his wife Kim. Lastly, I want to thank the media for their kind and compassionate reporting of our great loss. Thank you.
They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes. In heaven, there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am now making everything new." This world ain't our home. We're headed there. Lord, there are moments in our lives where we don't understand. We know that you've told us that we have trouble that lay ahead, and some that we can expect, some we can understand, but there are some things that just happen that just aren't fair. They're just not. And if we live life long enough, we all probably have at least one of those moments. Maybe not to the extent or the degree that this family that just shared their story had, as tragic as that was. But let us have, Lord, if at all possible, and no one would say that it would be easy to have it, but I pray that you would develop in us the ability to have the attitude that they had in the wake of the loss of 6 of their 9 children, gone in a snap of a finger, but to then, with still wounds on their faces, to be able to praise God and to give thanks for how good God had been to them. I cannot imagine. Thank you for preparing a place for us that we will enjoy. Please help to keep us on the path and keep us steadfast as we are all one day united there together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you're doing well. And again, we appreciate you being here with us, either here, or there, wherever that might be. And we do hope that if you're traveling this week, that you stay safe. We've got some folks who have kind of been out for several weeks or days, and I won't try to mention all of you, but we're glad you're back. Glad